Welcome to Pleb Chain Radio, a live show brought to you by Plebs for Plebs, which focuses on the intersection of Nostr and Bitcoin protocols. Join QW and Avi as they run down the weekly news and developments, breaking down the current thing and the future frontier with the foundation of decentralization, the builders, thinkers, doers, and plebs. All right, we are live.
Welcome, gentle plebs, to episode number 90 of Pleb Chain Radio. Today is Friday, the 6th of December, and it is 6.02 p.m. on the east coast of the United States at the time of recording. It is the most wonderful time of the year. It is NGU season. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the very first Pleb Chain Radio episode with Bitcoin well over 100K. And we have a special show to celebrate that. Open Mike, the creator of Tunster and the face of the value for value revolution.
One lucky winner will get all of his sats from the boating accident.
Indeed. He's Open Mike's here to talk about Sats by Southwest, a value for value Tunster event coming up very, very soon in Austin, Texas. And just a reminder, if you are listening to this show on Apple or Spotify, I would urge you to hit pause and ask yourself a very important question. What are you doing with your lives? Listening to a Bitcoin podcast, listening to two middle-aged dudes with an acute case of the Dunning-Kruger effect prattle on about things they have no idea about. Oh, I'm kidding, of course. I'd urge you to hit pause and switch over to the Fountain podcasting app, where you can earn some sats and support the value for value revolution as you listen. And the show is recorded live on NostrNess and streamed live on Zap.stream and any other Nostr client that supports streaming, such as Amethyst, Nostr, and many others. And for our meme readout today, it is the They Don't Know meme. And in this, we have a group of jolly Bitcoiners dancing, sadly, with their laser eyes now removed, presumably because it's mission accomplished. But of course, we have our lone hero in the corner with his laser eyes resolutely on, thinking to himself, they don't know that 100K is just the beginning. And QW, you've been paying attention to, meme credit, Condalorian, although I did tweak the meme just a little bit there. QW, you've been keeping an eye on...
Avi, if you tweak the meme, you got to put your watermark on it. That's the rules.
That's right.
Especially if it's a corn meme. meme. That was a great meme. The cultural corner. Number one, I like to think we should do purple laser eyes until 100K daily active users. I think the laser eyes were a nice thing. I think there's a lot of people trying to repurpose them. Whether it's for legal tender or some sort of conquest. My personal conquest is the more Nostr daily active users, the more powerful Bitcoin as a circular economy building mechanism will be. So by all means, keep the change into purple and let's get it to 100K daily active users.
Could I direct your gaze to my profile pic on NostrNess? And for those who can't, who are listening to the recording, you can go to any Nostr client that supports GIFs, GIF profile pics, and you will see that my profile pic has had flashing purple laser eyes since the very beginning.
Yes, and shout out to a few of the plebs out there. I noticed there's been purple power emanating from a lot of irises out there for a long time. So it's part of our culture, keep beaming. Obviously the other big thing is going to be next weekend, which is a lot of the reason why we're doing this show today, Avi. to highlight that Sats by Southwest in Austin between the Bitcoin Commons and Antones. So it's a 2-day, I believe it's 15th and 16th. So it's a Sunday and then Monday. Anybody in the Austin area, in Texas, or someone like Heather in the audience right here, she's coming from Phoenix. So anybody in the region, I know Derek Ross is coming from Pennsylvania. I don't know who else is going, but maybe we'll find out more. That would be the culture side. The sermon today,
KW, go ahead. Rumor has it that Open Mic is going to dox the guest list, NIMS and all.
Yeah, and like I said before, one lucky listener today is going to get all of Open Mic Sats. We're going to call them Open Wallet after this this show's over. So stay tuned. Sermon today, dedication. When I think about, and really this is kind of honed in on our guest, because I think of a lot about the what we do in a culture, and we are coming up on an annual of the first Value for Value show. But you know, at what stage, and Avi, maybe this is a question to you: at what stage of plebhood do you kind of become selfless? You find this purpose that precedes profit. You know, we all come from the NGU, but then all of a sudden we find this purpose, and kind of just do things to better the humanity, I suppose.
Yeah, I think one of the greater purposes I've found to better humanity is to get myself a Lambo, KW. It is NGU season, after all. I will say there clearly is an inflection point. I don't think I've reached it, to be perfectly blunt with you, KW, but I believe our guest has.
Well, there is, but the thing is, when you start to understand that Bitcoin fixes so many things and Nostr fixes so many things, there's a human side of understanding that makes you say, well, I can't just sit back and not do anything about it. I mean, you absolutely can. You can just stack sats, stay humble, and just hide. But there certainly is a draw to action. And our culture exists with action and promoting the dedication. So it takes that dedication to create actual change. It's tough to go out there and orange pill. It's tough to go out there purple pill. A lot of the times we talk about it and we just sit and wait. Like you said, the lighthouse, Avi, you become a lighthouse. They'll come when they're ready. But you know what? Our culture loves our developers. We love our artists. We love our creators of all walks of life. But the one thing I love more than any of that is someone willing to put themselves over profit and actually, you know, put boots on the ground and do things, take action. My son is at the door right now saying dad, so don't mind that. But that to me is just beautiful. And there's certain times that you can actually integrate Bitcoin into your life or your fiat mines. So when we say, oh, I want to leave the fiat mines and I'm going to go work for a Bitcoin company. Well, there are people out there that are in the fiat mines that are in the perfect place. Someone like an Open Mic who happens to work with a lot of artists, who happens to know a thing or two about the culture through music, who has a venue that he has experience in. So there is a certain time and place that happens, maybe where fate is involved, where, you know, you are in the perfect position to spread the purple and the orange. And it's up to you to actually do it. And, you know, that's, to me, it's just beautiful. And I love to have him on as our guest once again, especially as we approach this annual Value for Value.
It is no coincidence, KW, that BTC is the acronym for Be the Change.
Wow, Avi. And that's also going to be your license plate on your Lambo, right?
Yes. Thankfully, my house is $5 wrench proof, mostly because wrenches don't cost $5 anymore.
Be the change. I can see it right now in the Lambo. Yeah. Does the Lambo have a back seat for your child, Avi?
Oh, yeah. It's family friendly.
Perfect. Well, with that said, do you want to introduce our guest, Avi? It's our first sermon where we just poured all over him, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, we are honored to have the face of Value for Value grace our show. Maybe for the last time, KW, because after this, he might become too much of a celebrity if he isn't one already.
I'm just happy he gave us time today. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What's up, Mike? Open mic, closed Michael. Open wallet.
laying it on thick there. Holy cow. Dude. I'm honored to be here.
Hey, if you made it onto BTC sessions, I mean, you're there. I do have to know, did you bleach a streak in your head? have you gotten to that stage?
That's one of my few video appearances. you can check on that one. But no, that was great. I ran into those guys down at TabConf and just started shooting the breeze, and that just happened naturally. It was great.
On a real note, BTC Sessions does just amazing. I think anytime I get a cold store, anytime I get a wallet or I have some sort of a software question, I'll just Google, and he's always there with his answers and step by step. For me, I'm like YouTube University with a lot of the things I do. So he's one of my professors.
That's same with me. That summarizes a lot of 2019 and 2020 for this guy.
Well, there is another burning question here, Open Mike. Were you the artist formerly known as Closed Michael?
Yeah, this is true. That's hilarious. Anybody who knows me knows I'm not a huge fan of the spotlight or public speaking or any of this. I feel compelled to, you know, get off my duff and out of the shadows and participate in this space. So I missed Costa Rica, the one down in Costa Rica. So I walked into the Noster karaoke party in Miami, the first domestic big Noster event. And I was like walking around just trying to figure out who people were. And I ran into Sir Sleepy, and how did that story go? He kind of,
Avi knows, he was there. I wasn't, but this is the first time because Avi did tell the story, and this is the first time you can actually validate,
confirm or deny it. Yes. So that was the Noster karaoke event at BitCon Miami 2023 that Derek Ross, Sean, UTXO, and myself organized. And the story goes, and Open Mic, you were inside, nobody knew you, and you were keeping to yourself, and Sir Sleepy went up to you and coaxed you out of your shell to start mingling with people, which actually leads me to the third burning question here. Do we have Sir Sleepy to thank for Sats by Southwest? Because if he hadn't done that, maybe you wouldn't have come out of your shell, Mike, and you wouldn't have started Tunestar, and you wouldn't have connected with Just Loud and Ainsley Costello and Joe Martin and all the others and Adam Curry, all of which is now culminated in Sats by Southwest in Austin.
Hey, I'm A-okay with that story. That is so much of this space. It feels like serendipity, right? Like you're just, QW, you mentioned just kind of being in the right space and having a role or having a calling. And I've always been a Bitcoiner. Noster caught my attention right away. And then you start going to the events and then the opportunity just presents itself. And it seemed natural. It didn't seem forced at all. And so I'll give it all to, we'll give it all to Sir Sleepy for kicking the ball in motion.
Was the workshop that we did in Noster PHX, the Culture Shock, was that the first one you were involved in? On stage, yeah. In real life?
Let me think. I think it might have been. Well, I did podcasts off No, it was Nostrasia.
Right. Okay. All right. Yeah. And that was with
Nostrasia was the first time I doxed myself.
Yeah.
I figured I was safe in that, you know,
it's just so amazing to me. All the momentum that continues to build. Obviously talking about Just Loud and Ainsley. We had our show with them, a year ago. And it was before, it was really to put on that Minneapolis event, just help them where we can. And the fact that we've gone, 51 weeks now, there's been multiple shows, but we'll talk about that. And, we start to look at Fountain and what they're doing with these live artist spotlights. We look at the different podcasts that are coming out, whether it was the Phantom Power with Jim Costello, the Radio mm-hmm. Detox with Heather, the Waveform with Sam and Michael. There's certainly, and I'm sure there's more. This is just what I know, and we're relatively young in the value for value space as it touches. I think Ellen Beats has been around well before, but Noster just kind of was gasoline on this, where that it brought that community where we can connect. That social graph was just on steroids, and then something like Toonster comes out. The Zapdot Streams of the world, the Fountain Noster client, Wave Lake. These things are just growing, and it's really becoming a juggernaut, and to where. You look at any of these Bitcoin events, it turns into some sort of a musical event as well. I will say the most growth I've seen in the past year when it comes to Noster is in the musical side. And that's really, I think, what highlights 2024. And I didn't see that coming last year. The clients were developing so fast. Everything was kind of running at us. You didn't know what was coming, but I think the stickiest part of the culture currently is the music.
That's what I see. And I always question myself, like if I'm too close to it, if I'm too much in the,
oh yeah, you're high in your own supply, buddy.
But it does, like it feels so natural. It feels so, synergistic. It's just a perfect marriage of culture and technology and problems in the same area that these technologies address. And it's humbling to at least participate in whatever way I can. I'm not a developer, as you guys know. I feel,
you just play one on TV.
I just, it's an extension of my passion for music and my passion for the Bitcoin space. And when I saw what Kieran was building at Zapstream, that's when I was like, I got to get on a plane and go talk to this guy in Tokyo. And that's really why I went. It's like I had formed Toonster in my head. I'd actually formed, I'd bought the domain and set it all up, and I had a plan, but it just felt right to go.
Did Kieran know you were stalking him?
I was pretty clever about it, I was still a NIM at the time, remember? So,
yeah. Mike, it might actually be helpful for some of the folks in our audience if you were to recap what Toonster is, what Zap.Stream is, and how the two of them are different.
Sure, yeah. Well, it all starts with Zap.Stream, obviously. Zap.Stream is live streaming on Noster, where you can engage directly. The artists, the creators, whoever is presenting the material can engage directly with the consumer who's taking in the product and just have a one-to-one relationship with a public chat room. And it all syncs with your Noster profile. So your activities, your zaps, all of that follows your social graph. And Toonster is a fork of Zapstream that I did over in Tokyo with a lot of help from people far smarter than myself. And I've just taken the Zapstream technology and concept and merged it with my day job, which is event production and, you know, live music. Essentially, I do. We have half a dozen stages here in the Midwest and do about 1,200 concerts a year. And I just come across all these artists, all independently owned, independently operated. And it's the conversations that you hear in the Bitcoin world, in the Nostr world, are just so consistent with what you hear in the music world. It's like, you got Ticketmaster is a problem, Live Nation's a problem, the PROs are a problem. Like, everybody's saying the same thing with centralized services, gatekeepers, rent seekers. It's the exact same thing, with different players and different stakeholders. And so I just saw it as, let's take ZapStream and try to curate it and hold a safe space for artists to go where they can just present their product and people know where, you know, where do they want to go get discovered as a musician. And I love ZapStream. I goof around on there all the time. But I just know the live stream space in the traditional music world has, you know, very, very different degrees of success. And it's not, you know, it's not really caught on in any sort of a productive way for most artists to make money off of. But to be able to put it out, put your product out there for free and just tune in and directly engage with artists and have it all be in one spot on Toonster, I think it looks nice to have it all in one spot compared to on a generic Zap stream. I think the technology could get lost in all of the other content there.
So if there's someone in the audience who's listening, let's say somewhere in Europe or actually anywhere in the US, and they happen to have a live music venue, maybe they're on a bar with a little bit of space, right, where they have live musicians, and they say, you know what, this sounds great. I want to get in on this value for value. Clearly they're Bitcoiners if they're listening to the show. How would they spin up a Toonster event? What would they need to do for that?
Yeah, so right now this is the part where I feel a little, you know, with the free and open source movement and the ethos of just come as you are, kind of a philosophy. I have whitelisted NPubs or NSECs who can just log into Toonster and just, you could just fire up a broadcast just like you do on ZapStream, where that's public. You don't have to check in with anyone. But that is to protect the content that all of the other artists who are really trying to get discovered and want to be publishing their music next to other musicians, so that it's a consistent experience. So if you don't know me, you're not on the whitelist, we would just have to get to know each other and you know, we'll add it on there and just go nuts. It's the same as ZapStream at that point.
One of my favorite performances was Joe Martin when he was at the basement of that bar. He was just kind of setting it up, doing it. It was because a lot of these Toonster events are productions. They might have a couple cameras that alternate. There's someone working a mixer board or chatting along, you know, like Jim Costello did with the Nashville, what was it, like open mic nights or open, yeah, whatever it was, all Monday through, I think, November.
Artist
spotlight type of thing. But Joe Martin just doing his hot spotting his internet and trying it out was really neat to watch, because number one, it was great to hear him and it actually worked, but it was just cool to see someone doing it just by themselves, like, you know what, screw it, let's give it a try.
Yeah, it's great. And there's no rules. Like, you can broadcast whatever product you want to put out there. I try to do some of these larger events, like we did in Minneapolis, and then we did the Vinyl Lounge in Nashville. and we're doing in Austin next month when I, when Phantom Power and Toonster partner together, those guys bring the, they bring the A game and really make the production special. And that's what I think is really going to hit with growing the Noster music space is seeing some of that professional level production, and retaining some of those recordings to share with musicians. Cause you line those up with the chat room and rewatching the one from December last year, it's pretty fun to just see like 12 million sats go zipping through the chat room in one night. And then, you know, 18 million over the weekend.
That catches
people's attention.
That's a big important, point is as far as the curation that you kind of do with the whitelist right now. I mean, you're essentially doing this proof of concept. You're building this package deal because when other artists look at this, they want to see, that's kind of what they're going to want to see. They're not going to see, you know, they're not necessarily wanting to see someone just strumming in this guitar in his garage. And, you know, I think ultimately you're trying to attract the right talent right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the better the production, especially having professional sound, is really what, you know, you could have the greatest, you know, decentralized sovereign tech stack in the world, but it's got to look good and sound good, right? Like that'll be the first thing that an artist notices if you want to purple pill them and show off what we're doing here. If it sounds terrible, but they're getting a ton of zaps, I think that the production is going to distract them from what the profound stuff that's going on in the technology. So it's important to deliver you know, what Phantom Power does so well is a very well curated event for broadcast quality. And then the zaps really shine. But I think people should be able to use Toonster as a public good, and just, you know, if they want to stream a rehearsal, Just Loud streamed a rehearsal once and some people caught on and zapped him. It was pretty funny. You know, it's not just for, you know, broadcast quality productions, but I think that's where the rubber is going to hit the road for like the mass adoption, because it's going to take that sort of a quality level to get mainstream artists interested just on the very initial reaction.
Yeah. So Mike, we've got to ask you this question since you're the first guest on the show once Bitcoin cost crossed 100K. By the way, it's actually just fallen below. It's 99.4 now as I'm looking at it.
Thanks for the update, Avi.
Yeah, of course. Happy to. As a Bitcoiner who's been in this world, gone through at least one cycle, if not more, Mike, what any reflections on the milestone of 100K?
I mean, I don't have to listen to Don't Stop Believing anymore. That's nice. Actually, it's funny. I was at a concert last night. Go figure, right? Liz from Hodoween was in town, and we just went out to the Fine Line, and the guy played that song as a cover last night. I couldn't believe it.
Amazing.
Yeah, but you know, 100K, it's a big deal. I didn't go crazy with, you know, fiat celebrations or anything, but I feel like, you know, my general news feed starts to look more like my Noster feed, and I'm like, oh, that's different, you know, that people are catching on. And then it's pretty interesting when you look at the mempool and it looks the same as it did in the bear market. So this isn't even the start, right?
Well, I mean, and interestingly enough, a block is being generated every 10 minutes on average. Who'da thunk it?
TikTok, right?
Let's talk about the show, Mike. Let's South by Southwest. What's the date? What is it? What is the show about? Who are the headliners?
Yeah. So it's 2 days. First day, the theme of the show, of the weekend is my test to, I want to get a whole bunch of we'll call them pre-coiners, right? Get a whole bunch of pre-coiners who are musicians or in the music business and get them in the same room as some of the folks that we're comfortable or that we're very familiar with and just start talking about this stuff and see what happens. That was kind of my experiment. I want to see like how does the onboarding, how does the, you know, how can we mix these communities and really start to get the momentum going from, you know, mainstream people who are already artists adopting this technology rather than people who are native to the technology putting out art. Both are great, but I think so the conference day is going to be four panels with DJ Valerie, Heather Larson, Derek Ross, and Jim Costello moderating discussions that are 100% geared towards newcomers. They're geared towards the independent musicians and agents, venue operators, managers, anybody in the space who has seen, you know, we put out local press releases and we're kicking all the tires in the non-Bitcoin community down there and have had a really good response, actually. And so it's really an education experience. If you buy a ticket for $5, you walk in the door and you get a $5 Azteco Bitcoin card. So shout out to the team at Azteco. If you don't know them, they're sponsoring the event and they're contributing a portion of those sats. So essentially you're getting a free ticket. You're buying sats to go to the event. And at the event, you'll be taught how to download Primal, Fountain, Wavelake, and how to receive that your $5 of sats into the value for value apps, and then you'll be able to use them throughout the rest of the event. So the panels focus on what is the value for value movement around about, sort of the Adam Curry story, the, you know, 17 years ago starting No Agenda and then working through, you know, fiat value for value into the Lightning Network value for value into podcasting 2.0. And then where we're at with Noster and the music space. And then we talk about what are the obstacles to change. And that's, you know, that's very, you know, near and dear to my heart because I came out guns a-blazing last bull market, ready to go and like change the world and evangelize all the musicians about Bitcoin and how this is the key. If you really want to be independent, this is what you got to do. And we all know how that typically ends. So the S coiners really took over last market, and it was pretty frustrating to be, you know, we know the narratives last market, last bull was all, you know, the creatives and the innovation is on Ethereum, Bitcoiners, OG, just money. And now I just feel so bullish that we have this in this space. So talking about the obstacles and that sort of history and how even today, you know, I have artists that I know full well are really into Bitcoin, like to the extent that they mine Bitcoin at home and they would sell out any one of my venues on the mainstream show. But there's just really no upside to just come out and just be that trailblazing bulldog. Like, what, you're gonna get judged, you're gonna get questioned about it, people wonder why is this, you know, what's the relevance, why is this person obsessed with this? And so there's just not a And that's my story too. There's just not a great incentive to just come running out and screaming from the mountaintops. But well, I guess here I am. But
healing the world isn't an incentive enough for you, Mike?
I'm here. So the second panel is about the obstacles. The third panel is about artist case studies. So that'll be Ainsley, Webworthy, the documentary, the filmmaker, Abel James, who's doing podcasting and writing, and who else do we have? We've got musicians. We've got a couple different art people in different art spaces, and then the final panel is tools for the change. And so that's the platforms. That's Derek's wheelhouse, where he can talk about all the great apps and the great tools and show people how to use them.
Did you give the dates for the event, Mike?
Yeah, the conference is Sunday, December 15th at the Bitcoin Commons at 12 o'clock noon. And then the second day is all of the artists showcasing all of this technology and having a big party at Antone's Nightclub at 6 o'clock on Monday, the 16th. And that's pretty cool. Adam Curry is the MC of the whole event, and he's going to be introducing all the artists and giving little, you know, spiels between each set. And the sets are going to be Abel James, his band called SOB and the Dangs, FM Rodeo, Ainsley Costello. We have a local, so we've got it split up. We've got a few value for value natives that we know about, and then a few newcomers, which is really exciting. This will be their first value for value show. So Suzanne Santo from the Austin scene, she's played my Minneapolis venues back in the day in a band called Honey Honey. And then Henry Invisible, who is a kind of a local legend down in Austin and is open-minded to give our crazy world a try. And then one surprise guest who can't be named because they have sold out shows in market, and we can't compete with their tickets. So that will just have to be, you'll have to tune in to see.
Well, are there going to be a lot of Taylor Swift fans? Because they might be in for a treat.
Well, they're not on X anymore, so.
Well, and you mentioned last bull market, you know, you were guns blazing and all hyped. But this is just different, right? Mike, this is different because you mentioned the use case or the tools for the use case. We have the ability now to showcase what Bitcoin can do, what Nostr can do. You can showcase the emotions of why we're bullish through a real life experience. And I think that can't be stressed enough.
I 100% agree. Like I'm really working on I call it the hand-to-hand combat of, you get an artist in the green room or backstage or somewhere, and you got, how quickly can you condense that experience and that pitch? And I had the singer-songwriter in town a couple weeks ago, and I'd been kind of like throwing him links every now and then. He'd been interested. But we had dinner, and, you know, we did a real quick, like, onboard to Primal, activate wallet, download Fountain. And then you got two apps there. Drop the NSEC from one into the other one. And then I zapped him a couple thousand sats right off the bat into Fountain. Told him to go follow Boostagram Ball podcast, turn on the first episode and zap it or boost it. And in a matter of about 5 to 7 minutes, he had done that, boosted Adam Curry's show, and then I flipped him back over to the Fountain or to the Primal app and showed him, hey, look, this cross posted. The light bulb goes off, right? Where they see, oh, these are just different pairs of glasses for the same social graph. And that that stuff really hits hard. It's a lot easier to talk about Bitcoin when you have that social media experience where they're spending so much time managing six different social media platforms, and they're cross-posting, and they're, you know, worried about follower counts, and it just takes up so much time that this use case is so strong. If we can get the volume of eyeballs over here and make the zaps more meaningful and really get it's just the long game. Just get more people over here. We need the purple laser eyes. 100K.
You mentioned Webworthy, Barker Worthington, the filmmaker, is going to be there. Is there any chance, Mike, that he's actually filming a behind the scenes view of what's happening at South by Southwest?
There are rumors. There are rumors of such projects underway. So we had a kickoff meeting this morning with the Podfather himself, and really want to tell. I was meeting with Parker over in Riga, and I said, I need a commercial for Value for Value. Like, I need to, you know, set the hook with somebody and then just send them a link and then have them start their journey. Cause that's what happens for so many people, is, you know, get a little favorable result, but then just give them something to go with as a takeaway. And he loved the idea, and we were jamming with Adam for a couple hours this morning, and it seems like that's going to happen.
Love it. So Parker Worthington, or Webworthy, by the way, I'm not doxing him. It's all public. There's so many talented filmmakers now in Bitcoin. We have Bitcoin Shooter, right, with the new movie. We have Max DeMarco. We have a few others. But I think Parker, he's actually a formally trained filmmaker. He went to film school, and he really brings an incredible artistic lens to both documentary filmmaking and filmmaking in general. And the reason I'm singing his praises, Mike, one of the reasons is I have a project with him coming up in either later this year, but more likely early January. I wonder if he'll actually talk about it. He might talk about it during the event. Although he likes the grand reveal. So I don't know if he's going to tease it or not. But yeah, he's a solid guy. You couldn't have picked a better person to make a documentary or commercial.
I think I got a little bit of the preview from him.
Oh, you did? You guys are doing. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Okay. Yeah, more to come on that.
We're just pumping plebs today, Avi. We're just high praise between Parker and Open Mike.
Open Mike is is almost an influencer now.
I mean,
you've already crossed the chasm, right, Mike?
There, no stranger sentence has ever been uttered in my presence.
You know, Avi, once
Open Mike and the introvert influencer.
Once you make the Bitcoin trading card refractor, it's possible that you transition over to a Bitcoin influencer. What do you think, Javi?
Mike? Oh yeah, sure. I think Mike's next on the list.
We've got the Toonster card. Yeah. Card.
Wait, Toonster, say that again.
Toonster has a Series 3 card. It is pretty epic. I'm gonna start.
Oh, you've heard it here first, everyone.
I'm gonna start posting about it once Sats by Southwest ends.
So Bitcoin trading card. So there's a Series 3, and then has there been Noster in those? And I know you follow their work. Has there been any Noster in the Bitcoin trading cards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Just trust me, bro. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, just trust me.
All right. Oh, that's awesome, man. Congratulations. Keep pumping the signal. Toonster is going to be in everyone's TV one day. Hopefully.
Tuesday's right. The new MTV is the MTV.
Adam Curry's going full circle.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be sweet. I mean, I would love if Toonster became a service that venues would. I mean, that is kind of the vision. Is I would hope I could maintain this sort of pure one-to-one relationship. And obviously the wallet technologies and the wallet switching is pretty rugged right now, because it's just me trying to figure out all work that's way above my pay grade on the dev side. But if there was a way to keep 100% of all the Zaps going to artists and then actually make that a direct relationship 100% of the time, that would be pretty epic if we could turn Toonster into a service that becomes like the revenue stream. Then would be selling it to the venues and saying, hey, if you've the world that I'm living in is independent venues competing with large corporate venues like Live Nation. And when an artist comes to a town, they submit their bids. Say, give me an offer to play First Ave, give me an offer to play the Fillmore, give me an offer to play. And so they go get offers from all the different venues, and whichever one they like the best, that's the venue that they end up playing in town. If the indies are the only ones that have a tool like Toonster, that potentially could provide a competitive advantage to artists wanting to stay on the independent, smaller venue tour versus just taking the big payout, go with Ticketmaster and Live Nation and da 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 da. And that's something that's definitely on my mind, trying to keep that artist fan relationship as pure as possible.
Yeah, and it's beyond the monetization, it's also the exposure. If you mm-hmm. get enough at scale, certainly anybody trying to get their name out, and then they're on, let's say, Fountain, let's say they're on Wavelake, say they're on some other value for value music service. It's a revenue that's consistent, because you're getting Zaps down the line too, as you release new music and whatnot. So there is certainly a selling point, at scale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a year, and was Adam Curry, I believe he was involved in the Minneapolis event, correct?
Yeah, he didn't come up here, but he was very involved. He was the reason why it really blew up, to be honest.
Yeah, and how did that come about? Because it seems like it was so long ago, but it was less than a year ago that was really the inaugural kickoff.
Yeah, so I, the Lightning Summit in July of 2023. In Nashville is when the Costellos met Sam and that whole Genesis story with Ainsley began.
Yeah. Another fate story.
A couple of my friends from the Minneapolis meetup were at the summit and came back, told me about it. I obviously heard all the podcasts, watched Ainsley. I was watching it very closely. And when she did the cherry on top million sat song, I just remember thinking like, I'm going to book her for her first ticketed show. I said, she's never played a ticketed show before. I was like, I want to be the first person to book her. She's great. And so I started reaching out, and I mean, anybody who's interacted with the Costellos, like they're just amazing folks, and they're so dedicated to the craft and to her career. And I just pitched them on it. I said, hey, I've got, state-of-the-art facility here with four different cameras. We can do a professionally broadcast production, and let's do it on Noster, and let's just make a big fun spectacle out of it and see how crazy we can get the community going. And so they hopped in the car. JL came up. I've known JL for like 5 years. Just Loud, actually, I keep calling him JL. He was down in Atlanta. He came up. Ainsley came in from Nashville, and we did a 2-day thing. And our test run was at the Bitcoin meetup at the O'Shaughnessy Distillery here in Minneapolis the night before. And then we did the proper room on the stage where Prince played for the first big value for value night. And it was, it was nuts. It was really, it was something else. It was overwhelming. Very, very humbling.
And how is this getting easier to put together? Because when you first do it, obviously it's a mental, you got a lot of doubt in your mind. You're like, I don't know if this is going to work. Now you're starting to get this proof, you know, you start gathering this experience. You start getting a team together where, you know, let's say you wanted to go to Nashville or you want to go to Austin. You kind of have these gears in motion to where it might be a little easier. What's kind of the toughest part about putting these on from your experience?
The toughest, it's all tough to be honest, but the toughest is going into a room you don't know. Like setting up, we'd come off the momentum from Minneapolis, and as soon as they moved the conference to Nashville, it's pretty obvious that we were going to do something there because the proximity for the Costellos and Wave Lake wanted to do a party, and it made so much sense.
Well, and let's be honest, Nashville and Austin have one thing big in common, and that's two things. Number one, they're both Bitcoin hubs between the Commons and Bitcoin Park, and then they're both like live music capitals. It's got two things that absolutely make sense.
It's so perfect for a guy like me, you know, just park it in those two cities and hang out. But the setup of the vinyl lounge, if you're going to go take over somebody else's room, that show 100% does not happen without a ton of sweat equity from the Costellos. Jim and I drove 13 hours. I took a whole bunch of my gear, met him a month before the conference, dropped it all off, drove back to Minnesota, and then they just started testing it. And I knew the venue owner from the Vinyl Lounge from my day job connections, and he was totally cool. Like, we were drilling holes in the wall and wiring cameras through all the different rooms. And he's just like, this is fine, go for it. And that's clearly not a sustainable model. That's not going to last. But we left them there for a couple months, and they continued to do the artist residencies every Monday. So we got a lot of runway out of them. And now, we're going to keep them in Nashville, and we're going to, you know, rig up a new room out there. They had a change of control at the Vinyl Lounge, so the new owner isn't quite as purple pilled yet. But the challenges of going into a room that you don't know and aren't familiar with, and especially isn't rigged up, is pretty tough. Whereas if I had a string of ostriches just walking into First Ave all day long, I could just turn on the cameras and go to Toonster, and it's just like flipping a switch. So it's really getting more and more venues rigged up and getting more buy-in on that level.
Mm-hmm. And internet, obviously.
Yeah.
Some of these venues are in basements, and your cell phone just service drops right off when you get down there.
That's true.
By design sometimes for the sound. I can't help but think about it, Mike. NIVA, National Independent Venue Association. You know where 2025 conference is?
Milwaukee.
And how far of a drive is that for you?
It's about 6 hours, 5 hours.
It's like they're getting closer to you for a reason.
Well, we keep bidding on it. It's too much of a homer pick, because, you know, do you know the history of NIVA?
No. I believe, I mean, no, go ahead and tell the story.
This is a wild story. It sounds kind of like name droppy, but it's just the truth, so I'll just go with it. On Friday, March 13th of 2020, I left work. There was a band on stage. That was like one of those nights where like the NBA was canceling games starting the lockdown, and like the West Coast games were still going, but they were canceling the East, whatever. And so I left work, and then by the end of that night, it was pretty obvious, like, the world was shutting down. And so I went over to Dana Frank's house. She's the owner of First Avenue and all the venues here in Minneapolis. And she just looked at me and she said, "Mike, we're effed. Like, restaurants have a lobby. Airlines have a lobby. Everybody's got representation here, but every single independent venue is going to be bankrupt in 6 to 12 weeks. And we're going to all, this whole country is going to be Live Nation venues if this doesn't get addressed." And she called up, she just persistently was banging down the doors, and she ended up calling up Amy Klobuchar, the senator here in Minnesota, on her cell phone, got meetings, said, "What do I do?" And she formed, she had the National Independent Venue Association formed within a few weeks of that meeting, and started raising money. And we started, you know, telling the story. We started that, if you saw the this hashtag Save Our Stages, that was all us. I actually had a really funny tangent is walking through Sam's warehouse down there at Culture Shock. That whole wall that he has right inside of the inventory warehouse is Save Our Stages fundraiser poster boards that we hired him to do. And I didn't even know who he was until Bitcoin. Like, I didn't know that connection. But Neva ended up raising a ton of money, hired a lobbyist, you know, did the whole fiat game on Washington to get included in the CARES Act, and $16.8 billion were allocated to only independent venues in that package. So that saved independent venues from the pandemic shutdown. And as a result, you know, she's like a folk hero in the independent music space, and for good reason. And so I got to ride shotgun with her that whole way and just kind of see, you know, it's interesting to see how the, you know, the money printer works in a way, right? We have, there's some interesting observations there. But Neva is a pretty amazing organization that I always try to pump up. And it's one of those deals where I'm actually on the industry affairs committee and the business insurance committee. And I'm usually speaking on two or three panels at their annual conference. And I had the discussion with the Costellos last year about like, this it's too soon. There's going to be a panel here that we're going to be on together. One of these, you know, when this is ready, we'll be ready. And I still believe that it's such an appropriate message. And they're the idea that right now Neva's behind all of the anti-Live Nation, like break up Ticketmaster monopoly, all of the legislation that's going on Capitol Hill. We have the Fix the Ticks campaign going, and that's where the lobbyist money is going at the moment. So this Noster Toonster stuff, it all fits right in there. It's just too early.
Yeah. And that's why I ask. It's going to be one of these years, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really honestly, like that's where I felt
kind of when I was talking about polishing the product, presentable, making it presentable, you know, having your whitelist right now, whatever it may be, kind of just getting it to be presentable at a place like Neva, where you have all these independent venues, and it could just be as simple as, look, I need these two cameras, I need this soundboard, I need good internet, whatever, you know, you have a list of needs, and then any one of these can be whitelisted to do it year round. It's a beautiful vision. And it'd be amazing if you were just able to offer it and then they do the work, you know.
That's the idea. It's just the same way that I just forked Kieran's project. It's like, just take Toonster and go do it. Like, this is not it's not gonna be done by the big corporate players. It's gonna be the Neva people.
Yeah. and then our big corporate media shilling Bitcoin, especially when it hits 100,000, the Overton window continues to shift to be accepted as a currency, or in the media stance right now, a strategic reserve. But I think things like Toonster is going to change the tone on that. Change the tune, maybe.
Nice. Well played.
So, you know, maybe it's in Milwaukee, maybe it's the next year, but you know, ultimately I think that was your main goal, one of the big goals in the future, and time will tell when that is.
Yeah, we're definitely going to host it in Minneapolis. It's just the founder and chairman of the board having it in the home city is a little too homer right now. We're going to let it We'll give the other cities a chance first. We've had we have New Orleans. We had Cleveland for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, Chicago too, right? Last year. Well, it was New Orleans last year, and then was it Chicago?
Yeah, I was in Chicago last year, and Cleveland, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was the first one, and then and there's Washington D.C. also. That was cool.
And it's once a year?
Yeah, it's usually every June or July.
Gotcha. So coming back to Toonster, Mike, you'd mentioned that right now it's obviously still in the proof of concept phase, right? Because you still maintain the whitelist. But what's next in Toonster development? Is it going to become truly permissionless at some point?
I mean, I have a roadmap with like my developer pipe dreams where it would be, I love the way RSS has the wallet switches where, you know, like how, have you ever seen Adam Curry's, how the display of how, when he does his podcast, the actual artist's wallet switches when he switches to another song. And right now Toonster is very, you know, from a nuts and bolts perspective, it doesn't feel much different than like a typical band settlement where like the Zaps, it's way easier for the Zaps to come into Toonster and then out to the artists. And I have it all time stamped and you track, you know, where they came in, who gets it. And that, you know, that's okay, but it doesn't feel that profound, you know. It's still like you got to trust Toonster at that point. It's not that one-to-one relationship that we're talking about. So I'd love to have that become a reality. And also that is just, you know, I'm a CFO by day, so like the liability of having that money even for a nanosecond is something I'm not really interested in. I don't want to have a ton of revenue and then pay out expenses and then have to report it all. I would also love, you know, we're really working hard on ways to gamify this further. And I think that that's something that's really exciting, mostly in the IRL experience. We have Booberry, if you know him, he did a show in Minneapolis in April where he had a disco ball that came in and was activated as people boosted or zapped. And it was really cool. Like just, it was awesome. And he's building a boostagram ball live, like 3x2 foot neon sign. And it's going to be activated and rotating different colors based on the number of the boost or the zap that comes in. And that's pretty cool. You know, we saw the April show that he did, it was also pretty entertaining with the leaderboards that we had going on site. Eric PP is another one of the guys who's behind the scenes, just making things happen. And having these boosts versus zaps was just one of the funniest things ever. And it's like, anytime you get the competition going, the artist wins. And it's fun, it's engaging, you get to watch the show, but you've got this leaderboard of like, are the boosters or the zappers going to give this artist more love?
And for context, the Boost or Boostagrams, those are from Podcasting 2.0, V for V. And then the Zaps are more of the Noster based Lightning Zaps, correct?
Yep, that's correct. So we're going to have some leaderboards on site during the shows. So we had a couple of 75 inch TVs on rolling stands so the artists and people on site can see them. And that's going to be especially important because if we do this right, the crowd is going to be hopefully heavily weighted towards newcomers. We're going to have, I don't know,
those,
if I hit it
those
my
TVs
way,
are 6 inches too big, aren't they, Avi?
Indeed. This is QW is referring to a Black Friday Walmart riot that I was allegedly involved in over a 69-inch flat screen TV.
$420 is a good price, Alfie. sorry.
Seemed a bit high.
nice pun.
So yeah, I think the gamification, you know, is amazing as the real like technical guts of what we're using is. I think it's going to be the little gimmicks, like we're going to do a fog machine if you zapped over 10,000 sats.
Well, and those are such an important part of the experience. People that have no idea what's going on, they're just there for the music. They'll be like, "Well, what is that? What is that?" And they're asking questions, not being force fed. This is, you know, this is Bitcoin. This is value for value. This is, you know, all these things. They look in, they're like, "What's that leaderboard? What is that? Oh, those are sats. Those are Bitcoins." You know, that kind of mentality where you can really show, and that goes for the artists too, that they have no idea. They just know it's a value for value event, but then they walk out of there like, "Wow, that was different."
Yeah, the headliner is not going to be, they're open to this. It's going to be an interesting experience because they've got 20,000-30,000 monthly subscribers on Spotify. Like they know how to sell out places and get listeners. But if we zap them like crazy and they're sitting there watching that number go up and Adam Curry's sitting there baiting them on stage, like, "Hey, how does that compare to your Spotify revenue?" It could be kind of a fun dynamic because they're obviously, they know the deal. I had to pitch them and I had to sign the contract and get them on board with the fact that this was a part of the show and this was a theme and they were going to be expected to participate in this sort of an event, but they're not required to like dive in right off the bat.
Hey, Mike, sorry to interrupt. I just, for QW's benefit, I have some massive, all caps, massive break.
Bitcoin's over 100K again.
It is indeed. Go ahead, QW.
Where were you? Everyone will remember where they were the third time it broke 100K here at Plub Chain Radio. What the hell was I going to say? Keep going. But that was...
gamification.
Yeah. Well, then another thing is, and which I love about Toonster is I'm not going to be able to make it. You know, obviously, I would love to be there. My fellow Nostriches and plebs that I love so much are going to be there, and I'm going to have tremendous FOMO, but I'll be able to alleviate that because I have Noster. I'll be able to watch on Toonster. So you're tapping into this global phenomenon of value for value that can be really visited live from anywhere. Is this also going to be on Fountain? So the original value for value event in Minneapolis, they had it on Fountain too. There was that Boost versus app. Broadcasting? Where exactly is this all broadcasting to?
Yeah, it's easy to send the signal out to anyone who wants to. So I know, I think Podverse, Podfans, Fountain. I don't know if Pod Home, but it whoever wants to is the short answer. it was pretty fun. I think we had probably 6, 7, 8 different apps last year.
Yeah. Well, and Oscar Mary with Fountain was the one kind of keeping tabs on Boost versus Zaps, which was, that was the first time I even thought about a Boost versus a Zap. And and the tally, obviously it tallies from all these different platforms or clients or different angles. So it's neat just to see the kind of all these gears going in motion in the same machine, which is a live event in Austin next Monday the 16th.
Yeah, I can't believe how fast it's coming up.
So the headliners, it seems like it's been kind of a close knit group, whether it's JL or Ainsley. She's kind of a staple in this. What's it going to take down the road to kind of spread the wealth in regards to, in regards to just artists in general? Are you starting to see artists approach you? Is it something where, hey, if you guys ever come in this area, I'd like to be a part of it as well?
Yeah, like I treated 2024 as like my proof of concept tour. I tried to say yes to everything and go out and go to conferences, talk to people about it, gauge interest, try to do an event at every conference that I went to. And a lot of people come up and obviously are very interested and we'll do an event or, I'll whitelist them and they'll do something. I feel like the big, it's a chicken or the egg situation in a lot of these where if we're going live every 3 nights, well, there's only going to be a half dozen people in the audience. So it's not going to be an amazing artist experience if we're that thinned out. But seeing, like, I don't know if you guys have been watching.
Yeah, you have to be realistic with scale.
And I tell people the story about last December. I tell them the story about Nashville. But I also say, like, look, these were very well marketed, built up, hyped events. And you know, if you don't put in the time to let people know where you are and when it's happening, you're going to get the results that you should expect to have a pretty low turnout. But what I'm really excited about is as the bull market just is getting started here, there's all these artists that really caught the crypto craze last cycle and they got burned with the NFTs and they did enough like dipping their toe in the water to kind of understand the value prop of decentralized technology and disruption and all that. The number of artists that are secret Bitcoiners, like it's out there. You know, like I talked about this, I think it was in Riga. I'd just gotten out of the Nashville conference and I spoke on one of the side stages there with Sam and Oscar and Jim Costello actually. And they sent out like the thank you email to all the speakers and said, hey, here are some other upcoming events. If you wanna put your name in the hat for speaking. And one of them was the MENA conference that I think it's going on right now or this weekend in Abu Dhabi. And my name was right next to Killer Mike as previous speakers. And so I reached out to Killer Mike because we had a show with him like the next Tuesday. I was literally like 4 days later, he was in my room. And so I went to the green room after the show and I was like, yo, are you talking in Abu Dhabi next month? Like we should do something. And he was like, what are you talking about? I think they just mistakenly put him on there as a speaker because he played Sound Money Fest in 2022 at one of the Miami conferences. But we started talking about Bitcoin, and I was like, so tell me, like, how much are you into this? Are you like are you a closet like maniac, or did you just accept Bitcoin because it was a quirky gig and they paid well? He's like, no, he's like, I'm about 10% Bitcoin. And he's like, but my manager really tells me to stay away from it. He says, it's not like, I don't want to be too far out there. I don't want to be pushing the envelope. There's just, and so he gets it. You know, if you know Killer Mike, his background, he's an activist, you know, like this kind of mentality seems like a logical fit for the technology. I think he knows why he likes Bitcoin. But there's just not that, like, there's not that reason to just integrated into your day to day. But I think when the number goes up and like everybody starts getting excited again, these people who had at least experiences that weren't total rugs, right? any moderate to favorable experience could be coming out of the woodwork. And like, I know I got real excited over Thanksgiving when Theo Katzman started uploading his whole album to Wavelake, because I've been chatting with that dude and his manager. He sells out our venues all the time. He's one of the artists in the band Wolfpack, and he, on his solo tours, he sells out our venue. And I just heard through the grapevine that he was a based OG Bitcoiner. And I was like, well, we got to talk, like, come on, let's get you on the bill in Austin. And, he's out playing Lake Street Dive. He's playing with Lake Street Dive on tour, and they're in Boston next weekend, so he cannot perform at Antone's. But these kind of artists are out there, and I think they're ready to start talking, and maybe this bull market will embolden them to kind of dox themselves the way that I'm starting to do it too, and give the confidence of like, there's a way to do this community without being an S-coiner. You know, you can do this the right way.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mike. This bull market will likely embolden a lot more people. It's becoming a lot more legitimate.
Is this time different?
This time is different.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that. Yeah,
and also
I'm levering up right now.
It's safe to say that if Killer Mike was right next to Open Mic in the mailing list, that there is no L, M, and N prefix mics in between the two of you.
And just you mentioned Sam and Wavelake and that the artist uploading his music to it. It's important to note that Wavelake is still just a test flight app. It hasn't even hit the mainstream, but Little Birdie tells me that it might be in the App Store very soon. So
that's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
Huge.
It's like, it's
if I would tell someone to download Wavelake and then they're like, well, I don't see it. Well, do you have test flight here? It's like, wait a second. What is this? Mm-hmm. Are you scamming me? What's going on here?
No, 100%. Like I've lost the process in that test flight step.
Yeah. Speaking of process, did you apply for OpenSats? A grant?
I did.
Is it in the review? So it's in the review period, maybe.
It was in the review period, and not successful.
Interesting. Any feedback on that?
I didn't. It was a form reply, so I don't have any. I don't have any detail as to reasons or decisions that were made. I didn't get any inquiries. I sent in, I took a lot of time. I prepare financial statements and regulatory documents. So like I kind of wrote it very, I took a lot of time on it, and, I'm not sure. I think here's my hope. My hope is that the mad scientist kind of theory of like they believed in it enough that they didn't want to subsidize it and they wanted to see it succeed on its own. But I don't know.
It's, yeah. And What's needed? I mean, you're completely grassroots, but I mean, you have become open wallet on this too, which isn't necessarily fair, but that's kind of how value works right now with the scale that we're talking about. There's got to be sacrifices from people, but it just sucks when, you know, let's say it's the same person over and over. So what's needed most? Where can plebs help you today? You know, just like you have the talent and you have the where fate graced your path with the venue, with Noster, with Bitcoin. Any pleb listening out there, kind of what is most needed right now to accelerate Toonster development? Any call to action?
Yeah, great. Thank you for asking. It is open wallet. It is empty wallet. That's my business.
Yeah, we don't want empty wallet, Mike. Yeah.
Can we elaborate on that, Mike, just so that we leave nothing to ambiguity? You are self-funding this.
Yeah, yeah, it's me.
And you're running low on funds. Yes.
I'm happily. Basically, Toonster is my, I get a tax write-off to travel to conferences and meet all you wonderful people and put on some shows for some things that I love. I'm happy to do it. I love it. But it's like, if we're thinking long-term, is this a business model? No, this is not how it scales. Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep going to conferences and putting on events where I can, but the developer side, coming to your other question, QW, developer side is definitely that's my softest spot, as far as like, I know that I'm like 150 commits behind Zapstream. Like I could, if there are all the fun new features and enhancements that Kieran's been building at Zapstream, well, I'm not constantly pulling those over into the Toonster fork, because I don't want to screw it up. And I don't know how to code all of the fun gamification. Like, I don't know how to make the scoreboards. I don't know how to. So I just kind of go to the.
You don't know how to do a Git rebase master, bro? Come on, man.
I go to the. Here's my
business. Submit a pull request, man. Come on.
My business model is go to the Minneapolis Bitcoin meetup. Bribe people with First Avenue tickets and hoodies for Toonster. Make some steak and then put a laptop in front of them.
just to clarify for our listeners, Open Mike was obviously joking when he said bribe.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I mean, the easiest connection, I think, as far as ease of use, would be, let's say, like a Primal, which already has a wallet attached. It's normie friendly for onboarding, and a Toonster event pops up and Primal just says, hey, this is live right now. And you can watch the video because it's streaming through essentially the zap.stream servers. But just having that one click where you can just zap and there's a leaderboard, that's going to be, you know, something like that. And I just threw it out there, but something like that, I think, you know, Toonster doesn't necessarily need its own app. It doesn't need its own client. I mean, it could absolutely run with these kind of larger clients that have a team of developers on it, and it's a feature within that client and the social layer. And Amethyst is doing it. Noster is doing it. I mean, we're currently on Pleb Chain Radio on Noster Nest, but you can listen to us on Noster. We're streaming to Zap.stream. I mean, this is the way Noster works. It blasts like RSS. It's going to multiple sources at once. And you know, that's where I see Toonster in the future. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, that's ultimately the goal. I think, for me, is that something that you're seeing?
Yeah, 100%. And the wallets are always getting better, and I'm very, That was probably my biggest pain point in the last 12 to 14 months, is you'd have your kind of workflow and, you know, wallet of Satoshi, not, you know, not the biggest cypherpunk wallet, but man, was that easy for onboarding people. And that was the wallet that was supposed to take us into that first value for value event. And we went from Nostrasia, that was like early November, to December, I don't know, 20th, I think it was. So in that period of time, our whole like onboarding stack just got ripped up because Wallet of Satoshi left. And then I think Phoenix was our next one. Like, we lost two wallets in our like, in like our month leading up to the Value for Value Minneapolis events. And now it's been a challenge, because even, you know, the evolution of Albi, where it was, you know, a free for all, then it was invite only, that complicated things for onboarding, and then Albi Hub now. The less technical the wallets with the best reliable liquidity inbound is really the tricky part. When I used to drive those Albi guys nuts, because I'd call them and I'd be like, I don't know if I'm going to get a million sats or like 15 million sats, but open up some massive channels for me, because I don't want the artists to get rugged by a lightning liquidity issue.
And Primal has a cap, right? Even though it's probably the easiest wallet now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there's a one, is it a million?
1 million. And that's by design, because they do the soft KYC. So, you know, when I open up my wallet and I put John Smith, there's no verification there. As long as it's under 1 million, there's kind of that soft gray area with these money transmitter licenses, from my understanding.
Yeah. Like, I run a Lightning node at home. And I've got an Albi Hub with decent liquidity, but it's still kind of, I'm not super confident in any of them. Just purely user error and maintaining the channel balances and relying too much on one channel if it goes down. I had one, you know, one massive channel at one point that was just offline, and I'm like, that's not okay. Like,
You're in Austin, you're worried about your node overheating and
It's like at a sold out concert, if like somebody said, oh, don't worry, the POS system will be up in a couple hours. Sounds like a quick turnaround time, but not if that's your only 2 hours to sell beer.
What about Strike?
Strike is on the table. Yep. I haven't tried it for one of these large scale events yet.
Well, and that might be one of those things, because they have that black service that Primal's using.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it could be something where, you know, we're just spitballing here, but yeah. I mean, we're me and Avi are crossing a little bridge too with our value for value and Albi Hub going either run a node or you pay for it. It's something that it's just a lesson that we're in a constantly evolving state as a community, that we have to continue to make changes or adjustments and hope everything gets better, especially in the regulatory clarity side of things down the road.
Well, that's finishing my thought, is like, I'm curious and cautiously optimistic that are some of these previous solutions going to be available again? Like, cause they're just so dang easy to, I mean, I just remember orange pilling people in like 30 seconds with Wallet of Satoshi, and they have no idea what's going on, but at least they could see it happening.
Yeah,
I can vouch. My wife used Wallet of Satoshi for selling baked goods last February for Culture Shock, and it was the easiest. Connected to her Nostr account, simple, and it worked.
Yeah. Maybe they'll come back. I'm told.
Maybe I'm the Orange Man.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. The Orange Man likes the orange coin.
He already said you're welcome for 100K. Yeah, yeah. You know.
Hey, by the way, Avi, you're welcome for the third time during the show.
Yeah,
did you see that post? He said, congratulations. Yeah,
you're congratulations, welcome.
100K, you're welcome.
Hey, if that's not moving the Overton window, I don't know what is, though. There's something to be said. But yeah, never mind all the cypherpunks and all the the decades in the sly roundabout way. It's just the orange man. You're welcome. So,
what a troll.
So Mike, anything else folks need to know about South by Southwest? It's coming up. You said the 19th and the 20th of December, correct?
15th, 16th.
Come on, I'm sorry. Yeah. The 15th and 16th of December. Sunday, tickets are $5. Sunday and Monday. Tickets are $5, but you get an Azdeco voucher in exchange. So you're really just getting...
That's no KYC, free. Too.
Yeah.
No KYC, straight into Primal.
When is Toonster going live? So anybody that's not going to be in the Austin area that can't make the event, and by the way, I'll put the event in the show notes. So absolutely. And Mike, anything else you want in the show notes, just let me know. Okay. But when, for anybody listening, when does the live stream begin for Toonster?
Yeah, so the panels are all going to be live streamed starting at noon on Sunday, 15th. That'll be at Bitcoin Commons. And then the concert, the doors open at 6 and the music will start at 6:30. This is all central time on Monday the 16th.
So you heard it here, folks. It's still not too late to grab your $5 ticket and your slightly more expensive airplane ticket to Austin to make it for this incredible event with some phenomenal speakers and great music. If not, you can catch it from the comfort of your home, from the comfort of your mother's basement, listening to it on Toonster.
On your 69-inch TV. No, yeah, whatever you need to do there. And I'm stoked about the whoever that surprise performance is. That's interesting. I think you laid the foundation there pretty nicely during this episode. So,
yeah, I mean, I wish it wasn't a surprise performer. That's one of the nuances of the music.
The mystique, though. I mean, yeah. Mystique is a beautiful thing. Looking forward to that.
What are you talking about, KW? There is a bridge to blue sky, and all the Swifties now know that she's playing there.
Oh man, well, thank you so much once again for being on the show. Closed Michael. It was great. I'm happy we got more background and honestly the current state of Toonster, and shame on OpenSats. But we'll get it. We'll get the funding some way. Kind of grass, you know, a lot of it's just a lot of sweat equity. And that's what Noster community is all about. And that's just owed to you for committing yourself to it.
And Mike, you will forever hold the honor of being the first guest on Plebchain Radio right after Bitcoin crossed 100K, and the first guest, first where we'll end the show with Bitcoin over 100K. Ain't that something?
That is amazing. Are we right at it right now?
100,487. Yeah.
Nice. It's got to get it down. We can't close until 100,420, right?
That's it. Just give me 5,000 Moscow. I want my cheapies back. And with that said, it's going to be tough. That million sat Ainsley, and then the 15 million via the value for value last year. It's going to get harder and harder to reach those thresholds as the price of Bitcoin continues to be more and more scarce.
Well, that's one of the more compelling, like as those numbers are harder and harder to attain. And, you know, I never market those numbers and say, you can expect this. But I do say, like when we had JL down there on stage in Atlanta last month or the month before, it's like his, you know, what was it, like 6,000 fiat is now worth like 18,000 just because he doesn't even know how to move his Bitcoin if he wanted to.
That's the best kind of hobby.
Yeah. So we were joking on stage. You're like, yeah, dude, if anybody is pumping their chest about diamond hands, you got them beat.
We're one black swan away from you being the mortal enemy, open mic. So we shall see.
Mike reminded me, QW, when he talked about JL sats being more valuable now. Was it five times more valuable almost, right?
It was 42K when we played that show.
2.5 times more valuable. Yeah. That reminded me, Mike, well, this is more for QW, but there was a steak dinner in Nashville during Nosterville 1.0 last year, and I'm happy to say that dinner has been more than paid for today.
God bless my wife for complaining about the steak and us getting that free tomahawk too. So, you know, you got to stack sats in all different ways there, Avi.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, thanks for hanging on to the dear end here. Anybody listening, please, please, please support Value for Value. Number one, check out that the show noon, Sunday the 15th, the Central Time for the panels on Toonster. And then also Monday, 6:30 Central Time on Toonster. Let's get it pumping. Anybody listening to the show, please support Value for Value. Listen on Fountain or other podcasting 2.0 platforms. Boost us, zap us, talk to us, repost on Nost or whatever it may be. We appreciate every one of you, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.